back. Coming up here. Give me a little volume on the thing here on my microphone here, Hutch. We got a very special guest coming up here in just a minute. Her name is Elizabeth Haight, and she's from the New York Post. She's our relationship editor. Anyways, you want to go see if she's actually roaming around out there, Sash? Top drawer. Okay, she's putting on her makeup. Oh, no, in New York City, you get your own makeup artist for when you do your own radio show here. Roth Radio, David Lee Roth, 866-313-3733. Go ahead and jam a little bit there, guys. Pick it up. That's it. All right, we got her in here. Elizabeth, how are you this morning?
Fantastic.
I ran out of groove here. Okay, we're talking to Elizabeth Haight, and she is our relationship columnist here. And from the New York Post, Elizabeth, what's on your mind this morning? Talk to me about relationships. What?
I am so down on this whole concept of let's be friends.
Let's not be friends. Let's either be the most ardent of lovers, or let's try and decimate each other. That's the American way, is it not?
I just think when you've had a sexual, really intense relationship with someone, you know, to say that you want to be friends afterward, first of all, it's always the one who breaks up.
Wait a minute. Is this the subject of your column today?
It is.
Explain what the subject is to our fans and friends at home. Go ahead.
Well, it's asking the question, which I basically answer initially, immediately. Can exes be friends? Now, if you have kids, you've got to make exceptions. You've got to be cordial. But basically, if you're boyfriend, girlfriend, and you break up, and somebody's heart is broken, you get jilted, you don't have to be friends.
Why do people go back to each other? Why have I done that before?
Well, I've done it too. You mean recycling?
Yeah, recycling. Previous owner.
Because you don't want to up your numbers. You don't want to have to be like sleeping with so many more people, so you recycle.
Okay, but usually what's happened when I've tried to go back into what I already know is a ruined relationship,
yeah,
it's because I think I've figured out the key to the other person. I'm always thinking like larceny. I'm always thinking deceptively. And I go, okay, I now know how to handle Liz, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She's been gone for a couple of weeks. I've thought this through. Of course, nothing is my fault. Nothing is my problem. I'm not responsible for any of the issues at hand. And now I have figured out exactly the trigger that will work you as my ex-mate, and I'm going to come back and try and do you up like that.
For me, it's just total amnesia, memory loss. I will forget everything bad that happened, only remember the good, completely, I guess, idealized, utopianized, there's not a word there, but you know, what we had. And then I have the capacity to go blotto and go back.
Okay, so you're saying that you romanticize it and you only dwell on the positives.
Totally.
And you convince yourself?
I focus on the great sex we have and I forget everything else.
I call that creative denial. Selective amnesia.
Yeah, self-serving denial.
I practice selective amnesia routinely. And is this what you find most people actually spend their time doing?
No, I really think that people, mostly guys, okay, let's say, well, girls too, anybody who breaks up, does the, you know, the cutting the ties, they want to wean themselves off the one that they've been attached to. So they use the friends thing as an angle, but it's really a manipulation and it's very passive aggressive. Because what the person's really doing is saying, I can't detox right now. I need you still to support me, to talk to me, be my friend, kind of take care of me, my emotional needs. Perhaps, you know, if I'm going through a dry spell, keep that door open. But really, you're not good enough to be number one.
Who's playing this game on each other more? Are women playing this game on the fellas or vice versa?
That's a great question. I definitely think it has to do with who does the breaking up. And if you're incapable of breaking up, I'm one of these people who doesn't let go. I hate breakups.
Well, it suggests failure. If you're a type A, if you're an achiever, as you obviously are, then it suggests that somehow you failed. I have that same experience.
Really?
That no matter what happened in my love life, that somehow I felt like I was responsible. So I'll just take a couple of weeks. I'll figure out what I did wrong.
Uh-huh.
It's probably just a choice of words. Maybe we went to the wrong place when I used the wrong words. The lighting was a little off. Got that figured out now.
But don't you think the one who can't break up, who doesn't let go, comes off as the pitiful one?
I call it the hurt clown act. Seriously, that's a routine. So do you feel that women are breaking up with the guys more, or are guys breaking up with the girls more in this day and age in the big city? What do you think?
Well, I think in Manhattan in particular, guys always think there's some, like, a better chick around the corner. You know, if there's some, you know, younger, prettier, I mean, what the hell are they looking for? Not marriage, you know, and if they are, she's going to be a model or something, some 22-year-old nitwit. I really think that it's probably the guys. And they also do this thing, I want to write a column about this, the Houdini Act.
What's the Houdini Act? Share that with us.
The Houdinis. Okay. Where do they go? They, out of nowhere, they disappear. You know, they will, this just recently happened, that, you know, you get a guy will send you a slew of emails about all the things he wants to do to you, the X-rated things he wants to do, and how hot you are, and it's just this effusive, you know, I guess, sweet nothings, words of affection. And then when it really comes to pass, and you know, you acknowledge the guy, and, you know, you come to like him back, boom, Houdini. He's just gone into the vapors of cyberspace.
So what do you think was the chemistry that was at work there? Why did he go to all that trouble if, in fact, it's evaporation right
ego?
At the crux move?
Ego. He just wanted to know if he could nail me.
Chase of the thrill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thrill of the chase.
Okay.
Or chase of the thrill. Right?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think you got it right, actually. It was about the during, not the after.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, what's that about? I mean, and why? And this particular guy is 50 years old, and I think he's bald, but he wore a do-rag.
Okay. Probably what the case there is a power issue. A lot of people utilize interrelationships simply as a power-making issue. You know what monkeys do all day long? Just reestablish hierarchy. Who's the man
right.
now? Who's
right.
the man now? Look at me. I'm higher in the tree. Not me. I'm higher in another tree.
I'm just in disbelief that people can't be honest. You know, and straight with each other.
Do you think people could ever possibly be honest with each other?
No.
Is that even possible without ruining relationships right and left?
I think no. And I used to think yes. If you just square, you tell, you know, square about what you want with someone, you know, you level with someone, tell them the truth, you know, that behind this false exterior, all this posturing is a real human being, you know, made of flesh and blood with a heart that pulses. They're going to get it and love you more for it. They hate you for being real.
Well, also what happens is, you know, the con artist doesn't have you confide in him. He confides in you. Okay, a real good con artist,
yeah.
Become like Iceberg Slim, you know, who wrote the book Pimp back in the 60s,
uh-huh.
Said, you know, first thing I do is tell somebody I have a drinking problem. And that puts them off guard. That puts them at ease. And what happens is...
What, you mean like the sympathy position?
Yeah. You know, once you start to create some sympathy or something in somebody, they relax their guard. And it becomes a power issue, like playing chess. Where's the big win at the end of a chess game? There isn't. You walk away with it in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You follow? And I'm wondering if what you're saying is true, because with all of the empowerment of women today,
mm-hmm.
columns like yourself, a person like yourself, shows like Sex in the City, perhaps, that women aren't the ones who are doing more breaking up than the fellas.
I just don't believe it, at least not my age. You know, I think maybe if you're in your 20s, and we won't get into how old I am, but I'm not in my 20s. Maybe if you're in your 20s and you still think that A, you're the pick of the litter, and B, you have a whole pool of, you know, this big den to pick from, then maybe, you know, you might be quick to snap your fingers and break up. But once you get older, you know, you're looking to settle down, get serious, and if your biological clock is ticking, you know, you're kind of at the whim of a guy.
But nevertheless, I think it's a lot harder for guys to go out and start finding somebody, to go dating with, to find somebody that they're going to be applied to. It's a much greater process. Women, somebody like yourself, mm-hmm. could literally walk up to somebody like me, a total stranger, sit on my lap in a nightclub, screw my haircut up, drop a drink on me, leave a number in my shirt, and that was a good night for
me.
Wait
a minute. Are you hitting on me, Dave?
A little bit. Seriously. But for a gal, that's an easy move. You just walk across the street.
I think you're completely wrong. No, you can't just walk across the street. What I find is there are, you know, these, you know, antiquated rule of the jungle dating rituals. Guys have to call the girl. You can't give them your number. I really think that men need to pursue. And I did not want to believe that. You know, I'm a believer in women's rights. But the older I get, the more I believe a woman has to sit back and wait, which is cruel.
Yeah, that is cruel. I wouldn't have thought that that was the current tone. Hold on. Sash, you're 21.
Yes.
Do you sit back and wait, or do you cross the dance floor, so to speak?
I'm actually learning that now, like as I'm 21, my mom's teaching that.
The weight thing,
because I find it hard not to lay it all out,
yeah.
Not to just be like, hey, I'm here. And my mother just recently told me to wait, to have them pursue me. They like that.
They like that.
And it's feel
so,
control.
It goes so against my personality. Here I go out and get whatever I want. You know, I'm in control of my life. Take what I can get. And then in the presence of a guy, I've got to be submissive.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. Why do you feel you have to be that? What do you lose if you don't do that?
The guy.
Really? Nine out of 10 times.
Yeah.
You're dealing with pansies. So are you. let's see if we can get Ken on the phone here and talk about the Houdini Act. You're on Roth Radio.
Hey,
go ahead,
Ken. Hey, what's up, Dave? Good morning. How are you?
Do you have a question for Elizabeth? Go ahead.
No, I actually wanted to explain the Houdini Act to Elizabeth and why guys do it.
Go ahead.
Love to hear this.
Please.
Okay. Picture this. It's late Thursday night. Everybody comes back from the bars. Some of your friends had a good night. Some of them didn't. And the desperation kicks in. And guys just start doing things that are out of character. And then the whole thing gets a little played out, and the guy keeps going along with it. And when it comes time that the guy is actually able to cash in on this little investment that he's been working on, he's like, do I really need this? Am I that desperate? And they just pull the Houdini Act.
No, the guy goes through with it, and then the next day, when the chick is already invested, wondering, you know, is he going to call? And as you know, women do get attached.
Even more of the Houdini Act to the guy. Enjoyed his investment, then he realized, wow, I don't need this, and he's on to the next one. Guys, once they get what they want, they're on to the next one. We're never satisfied.
Well,
we always like to have our pick of the litter and then go to the next one.
I think it is so irresponsible, immature, reckless, thoughtless. I can go on and on.
Yeah, unless it's James Bond decides to do it with you for one night and you walk away totally validated, feeling like the princess of the city. Is that right?
So long as the stakes, the terms are clear. Now, how are you going to clarify them? This is a hard thing.
Also, I think what happens is that today is the idea of the one-night stand is a much more difficult proposition for everybody because everybody knows how to file a lawsuit. Everybody knows how to scream date rape. Everybody knows how to find the telephone number. It used to be easy. You just didn't call.
Well, the other thing is, I grew up, love the one you're with. But that was a flawed moment, in the 70s and the late 60s. Love the one you're with really didn't work because the heart's involved. It only felt good in the moment, but then it hurt so much afterward.
What, you felt like you had been dropped? You felt like somebody left you behind?
Not so much that, because I can go into something with a love the one you're with attitude, but I'm cheating myself. I'm totally lying to myself because I really, the next day, do want validation.
Okay, so you want lease with option to buy.
Yes, I do.
Okay, because I always said rent a new car in each city. However, Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Let's see what Claudia's got to say there. Hit her up, Hutch. David Lee, you're in. Go ahead, Claudia.
Hey, Dave. It's Claudia back again. Listen, this is what I do all day long in my office, okay? I help people have their relationships better. Women are supposed to pick the phone up and make the call, as well as men are supposed to pick the phone up and make the call. Why does it land in somebody's box? Why can't you just pick up the phone, call the guy up, and chat him up? You know what? You're going to learn a lot about him because he's going to respond to that. He's going to be going, uh-oh, what do I say? And this may not be the guy for you just because you're finding out something about him that you didn't find out on the first or second date.
What do you think about that, Liz?
Look, do I really want to talk on the phone that long? I think that you can actually be very misleading on the phone, very charming. I want to see the guy's face. I want to know, do his teeth look like the inside of a graveyard?
Body language.
Okay. Haven't you already met him and looked in his mouth? That's one of the first things I do, baby.
You got to check their teeth, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, what it sounds like to me is that you're up for the even Steven, but I don't know that most people are. I don't know that most guys are accepting of that. What do you think, Liz? Are most guys accepting of having the girl call and make the opening overtures?
Yeah, you can make that first call, and you can even initiate the sex, and say what you want. But if you do that, what you've set yourself up for is this preconception on the part of the guy that you don't have a heart. that somehow you're this split personality. I'm just amazed at that concept.
That's a good point. Go ahead.
Well, that men have, they sustain these two ideas in their head about women. That if you're aggressive or assertive and you want sex, that doesn't mean, that means you're devoid of emotional attachment or you're incapable of that.
Hopefully. Go ahead.
You're one of them?
No, I'm not. I'm a comedian this morning. What you're saying is that if you depict that first, then that's the only kind of reference the guy is going to have for you.
It's, and then they say to you afterward, I get this all the time, well, that's not how you first seemed. Well, of course it's not how I first seemed. You seem different, too.
Well, my comment on that is, I know you say you're not that kind of girl, but you should stop dressing like that kind of girl.
Well, so what are you talking about?
No, this comes into it as well. That if somebody's going to come up to me and make first an overture, hey, I'd like to go to bed with you or whatever, I assume right away that's all this person's made out of. I assume that's all she's going for.
Okay, so what's the way a woman should go about letting you know she's hot for you, but also might want to leave the door open for a little bit more, for caring and affection and possibly a relationship? I have no idea how to do that.
Don't pitch me on going to bed. Don't pitch me on jumping into the sleeping bag on the first date.
How long do you have to wait?
Well, I don't speak metric, but at some point during the second date, if that's an ambition of yours, because if on the first one, I'm going to assume that you're a specialist and that's the primary thing, the only thing that you're really interested in. The rest of it is just a little salt in the rice, so to speak. Let's go to Maria here. She's got a phone call. Maria, you're on Roth Radio. Hit it up, baby.
I just have a comment. My thing is, if you're in a relationship with somebody, right, and you see problems and you try to help out and you give it 110%, but yet the other person is still not trying to help the relationship out, then what are you supposed to do? It's like, why would you stay in a relationship that doesn't make you happy if the other person is not trying to help it out, even though he admits to his mistakes and what he needs to do?
Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Well, you know you're supposed to get out of it. And, you know, given the column I wrote today in the New York Post, what I'm saying is you're not only supposed to get out of it, but you're supposed to cut your ties. And you don't, you know, just don't even attempt that BS of let's be friends and let's still see each other and let's, you know, go out to dinner. Because one person, I think, is always more sexually invested than the other.
There is the face that gets kissed and those who do the kissing, always.
Ooh, you mean the kiss off.
Don't go away. We're talking to Elizabeth Haight, H-A-Y-T. She's the columnist for Love and Hate in the Post, and she's also the author of I'm No Saint. We'll be right back after this. Flip the page, Hutch. David Lee. Talking about relationships, Roth Radio, relationship God, that's me, David Lee.
I'm the goddess, then.
D-Ro in the house, and I've got the queen of relationships, Elizabeth Haight, that's H-A-Y-T. She's the columnist for Love and Hate from The Post, and she's also an author. She's the author of I'm No Saint. You can find her on ElizabethHaight.com, H-A-Y-T, ElizabethHaight.com. Elizabeth, welcome. How are you this morning?
Fabulous.
Okay, we're talking about exes. And we got a lot of calls here. In fact, they're even starting to fight with each other. Tina says Elizabeth is all wrong.
About?
I'm not sure. Let's put her on the air. Tina, you're in. Go ahead, babe. Are you there?
Hi. I'm driving to work. I'm a school teacher, and I'm cringing in my seat listening to her.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know. There's a little bit of balance of both. I believe in the old-fashioned stuff, but I'm 33 years old, and I'm married. And I gave my husband my phone number 3 times at a bar in Hoboken until he called me.
Ooh, you're a determined woman.
Yeah.
Now, what made you think, why do you think you resisted calling 3 times?
Well, I think, you know, he just got out of a relationship. He wasn't too sure about getting into one, but I had confidence that I knew I was a good catch.
Okay, and you went long line fishing, and after 3 calls, you guys got married?
Oh, yeah. Well, we were married within a year.
How long ago?
We actually just got married this summer. We were dating for about a year, got engaged, and then got married.
Okay, and you called him 3 times before he answered on the 3rd call?
No, I had to give him my number 3 times, but he called me first.
What are you thinking, Liz?
Well, firstly, I'm thinking, good move that you gave him the number, because rule number 1, never... Oh, actually, no, I'm all wrong about this. This is it. If a guy says to you, here's my number, call... Don't ever, ever call him.
Why not?
It's a manipulation. And it puts him in the position of power when he does that. don't ever do it.
But what if it's with a girl who gets a lot of play? What if it's with a model or an actress or somebody who's always getting hit on by guys, you know, here, let me get your number and that kind of thing. That doesn't work?
No. And then he gives her his number? I mean, he's a loser if he has to do that. But back to you, Tina. I was going to say that, you know, you must exude a lack of desperation or some kind of cool that gave your now husband the confidence to give you a call and not be scared off that you were some sort of stalker.
Well, I think, which I was going to say too, is I realized after being in a dating thing for a long time, you got to look for the right guy, because I was looking for the wrong type of guy for a long time. And then you realize, like, the right kind of guy isn't going to be scared off.
What was the right guy in your situation? Define your husband. Describe him.
Well, it's what I guess I knew I was always looking for, but it's not that, like, macho, I'm too cool to call you, and that whole power struggle. I think my husband is very, very confident in himself, and I think that's the kind of guy you really have to find.
Didn't it take 3 times before he called? That doesn't sound like confidence. It sounds like you wore him down. That sounds like wearing him down sounds like a recipe for disaster. Somebody finally gave in. You put the arm on him. You took the Brazilian jiu-jitsu approach to romance. Say uncle.
Well, he was actually in a relationship, and he did the right thing and didn't want to cheat on the girlfriend that he had. So he took some time to break up with her first.
You got it. So you were a little bit in the picture.
You were totally in the picture. You were completely in his brain. He was using her as a standby while he prepared to leave the launch pad.
Backing out slowly.
He sounds like larceny ready to combust. How long have you guys been actually married?
Only since this summer, but we're very
Since
happy.
This summer. Okay, well, call us again next summer for your divorce proceedings.
Mr. Cynicism.
This sounds like a recipe for disaster to me, Liz. Really.
You think?
Oh, come on.
Oh, I think she snagged him.
Oh, yeah, she snagged him, but now what did she catch? She caught herself a crocodile. Oh, he's bleeding crocodile tears with the homegirl back home because he's going to steal the base because he knows nobody's watching. He's going to do the same exact thing to her. You don't think so?
No. I don't. I think he's got more invested now. I do. It's just my gut, you know. And I also think that 3 phone call thing somehow means he really is hooked. I mean, literally, he's got the fish hook in him, and it'll rip him and make him bleed if he takes it out.
God, that sounds romantic. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Go ahead, dial up whatever you want there, Hutch. Make it happen. Rip him till he's...
Let's talk to Craig.
Craig, you're on.
Hey, Dave, great show.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Listen, I think what Elizabeth's saying is, you know, it's a little ridiculous as far as, you know, if a guy gives you his number and says, to call me, that, you know, he's some kind of loser and it's a manipulation. But, you know, why doesn't it work the other way around? If a girl gives you her number and says, you know, give me a call, why isn't that a manipulation?
Don't you think that's kind of hot?
When a girl gives you their number?
Yeah.
Depends on what she looks like.
Maybe if it's real.
Yeah, but the girls who usually give you their number do not look like Elizabeth.
Oh, I've got a fan here.
No, I'm not kidding. The girls who give you their number are usually a little too aggressive in my book because they've made a decision to sort of transcend the normal course of things.
So look, what we're then saying is it's got to go back to, it's so old fashioned, but the guy's got to be the one to ask for the phone number.
No.
Well, can I say one more thing?
Please, go ahead.
I don't think really there's any rhyme or reason when it comes to, courting and meeting somebody. I think, some girls could be more aggressive and yet still be the type of girl you want to take home. And some girls that are less aggressive, you might find out a few months later, isn't the right one for you. So,
hey, what's
really
the kind of girl you want?
Rhyme or reason.
Craig, what's the type of girl you want to take home?
Well, I wanted to be a lady sometimes. I wanted to be wild at others. I mean, I think that's what every guy wants. But I don't think that you know who she is or how she is by the way she presents herself the first, second, third, or fourth time you meet her.
You know what I have a difficulty with is when women behave like men. I like really strong women, okay? I like well-grounded, really educated, tough girls, mm-hmm. okay? Maybe you've heard my sister Lisa on the show earlier. She's nobody's fool, you dig? And this, and the whole family, the Roth family, follows that way. I have 2 sisters. There's a lot of female cousins, etc., and they're all that same way, okay? They're real tough, but they don't act like men.
What's the distinction?
The distinction is when somebody tries to act like a guy, it's an affectation. The same as when you have a guy acting like a woman. I find it equally distasteful.
Because I'm often accused of acting like a guy when it comes to sex.
No. I'm talking about a surly attitude. I'm talking about an uncaring attitude. What women perceive macho guys to behave like is usually well off the mark. Okay? And I run into this in the business world, in the corporate world, where I have dames with clipboards who are well-to-do in their job, who do their job, but for some reason they choose to act like men.
Well,
they cop an imperious attitude, or they push according to what they think guys act like, and I find that distasteful.
Well, what do you think it means when guys say to me, you act like a guy when it comes to sex? I always am sort of mystified and insulted when someone says
that. Well, you're sleeping with another pansy. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Ride 'em, cowgirl. Put on Chrissy. Let's see what she's got to say up here. I guess Chrissy's a girl. Go ahead, Chrissy, you're on.
Hi, Dave. I just want to say you're great, and I went to your concert after you left Van Halen in Phoenix, and we had such a wonderful time. I want to say that I agree with Elizabeth. And
in what respect do you agree with Elizabeth, Chrissy?
This relationship I'm in now started almost 9 months ago, and I didn't even know he was there. We met in the parking lot of my apartment complex.
At gunpoint.
No, wait a minute. He's a doll. He's gorgeous.
Okay.
But he just, when I didn't, like, acknowledge him, he just kept parking closer and closer to me, and I still didn't acknowledge him.
Liz, what are you thinking?
I'm getting scared.
Okay, go ahead, Chrissy.
Well, no. This was, like, in a two-day period. So he finally came over, and he goes, God, I like the color of your car. And we started talking.
I love that line.
I know. I was like the original pickup line, okay? So we started talking. He is the most wonderful man, and I have had some crappy relationships.
How long have you known him now?
9 months.
Okay.
And what am I right about?
You're right that he asked for my number and asked if he could call me, and I said yeah.
And that's the way that you wanted it, correct?
Well, it was just different. You know, I was used to more aggressive men.
Aggressive men, or you were more aggressive?
I'm not aggressive. I'm passive.
It sounds to me like you're passive aggressive. You mastered the art of laying flat on the ground and pretending to be being a very still stone in the bottom of the ocean, and then just at the right, boom.
You know, you've got it right.
No, because I was kind of leery because of our age difference.
Which is?
How much? And, how old are you?
I'm 42, but I still get carded.
And how old is he?
33.
Okay.
Nice.
This sounds like a recreational trip to the water park they're building in 2007.
No.
This sounds like it has just about as much substance. Liz, do you think you can know another human being in 10 months?
In 10 months?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I disagree.
How long do you think it takes?
Oh, I think that some people are so good at being deceptive and hiding who they really are and what they're really about, especially in the corporate world, in the big city. We broadcast almost exclusively to big cities here, Cleveland, Boston, Pittsburgh and stuff.
Yeah.
That's highly competitive on every level, not just business, not just education, but especially in the social cycle of things, okay?
You know, you've given me cause to think about something. In my column today, where I'm writing about can exes or should exes be friends, my anecdote that I open with surrounds a relationship I had for a very long time, about 6 years.
Reacquaint us. Go ahead.
Okay, with a guy who started out, I really was into him right off the bat. You know, he's really good looking, and I really dug, you know, what he had done for himself in terms of his life. And I wanted to marry him right off. This was my marriage had ended, and I had my sights set on him. And he said, no, you can't get married for a year. It takes a year to get to know someone. Well, I put up with it. Guess what happened after a year?
Tell us.
He grew fangs, essentially, and I spent 5-6 more years with him, you know, and he...
Okay, Roth Radio, we're all gluttons for punishment. We're going to dig in. Don't go away.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
David Lee Roth, へようこそ。勝利の笑いの禅と芸術。Welcome to David Lee Roth, Zen and the Art of Laughing Last.
Zen and the Art of Mojo Maintenance. I got a special side driver here. Her name is Elizabeth Haight. That's H-A-Y-T. She's the author of Love and Hate, the column in The Post. And today we're talking about relationships. She's also an author. Don't forget her book, I'm No Saint. I'm going to take her at her word. ElizabethHaight.com. H-A-Y-T, ElizabethHaight.com. Elizabeth, a lot of conflicting views here on relationships and who should give who the phone number. And
what did we generate?
We generated confusion, chaos, panic. My work here is almost done for the day. How about Linda here? You see that one up there, Hutch? Give me Linda.
Linda.
Bring me Linda. Yeah. Have her bathed in the lightest of spring water. Go ahead, Lynn, you're on.
Hi. Normally, I'd have to say I agree with Elizabeth, and because I'm definitely the type who'd rather have a guy ask me out. But a couple of years ago, I met this great guy, and he's 8 years younger than me, and I went for it, and I asked him out, and we're married now.
You know, that's, I think, a different situation. And we were just talking to someone before about this. When the woman is older and the guy is substantially younger, then I think the whole power dynamic from the beginning is different. And if she initiates the first call or the date, I think that there's a whole different head going on. And it's not so threatening to a younger man because he already expects the woman to be in control.
You agree or disagree?
I guess that could be true, but he's definitely a manly man, and even in our relationship now, he's more in control, I think, than I am.
Okay, if you guys broke up, would you keep in touch with each other? We started off talking about exes who go back with each other. Would you accept that?
I think him and I could, because if we were to break up, we're not the type to fight and yell and scream and be nasty to one another. So if anything was to ever happen, I think it would be a nice breakup. So I think that we could definitely stay friends.
Because what Elizabeth was referencing, if I'm not mistaken, is that you made the power move, okay? And that the power issue is upside down from the beginning, and that this is almost destined to fall apart 9 times out of 10. And that if it does, did you ruin it back in the beginning?
I'm not so sure that she did ruin it. I think that younger men in general, because they've been raised in an era when women are more accomplished and more outspoken, they're already approaching a woman from a more equal mentality as opposed to guys our age.
How many guys, Liz, feel that they're being taken advantage of but will go along with the ride just to extract their grievous toll?
They will all go along for the ride. I mean, what are you talking about, some morality, you know?
Not on this show. Okay. Darren, he wants to talk about giving numbers to people. Darren, you're on Roth Radio. You're talking to D. Lee. Go ahead.
Hey, Diamond Dave. How you doing?
Good,
Darren,
friend.
Good. Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. Good to be talking to you. A great show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I gave my wife my phone number 11 years ago, and she put me on the standard 3-day waiting list, and we've been together ever since. We're married for 5 years, and I just basically wanted to let her mind at ease, you know, knowing how many weirdos there are. You can't be accepting everybody's phone number.
Okay, now you referenced the 3-day waiting list. What I liken this to is being thrown into a prison cell like the Count of Monte Cristo. I wind up in answering machines where it's big and dark and cold, and all I hear is others breathing in the darkness near me, and I go, wow, I called her 6 weeks ago. How long did you call her? Oh, 2 years ago, man. I'm really hungry, too.
Actually, you know something? I'm thinking about this German guy I once met. And maybe let's say 10, 15 years ago. And I met this guy at an auction. And he was very good looking. And I just, I gave him that sly look. And I slipped in my card, my business card, and said nothing. And I knew who he was. And didn't hear anything, forgot about him. And I said 2 weeks later, he called and he said to me, I thought that was really cool how you gave me your card. Now, looking back, I'm thinking, would I do that today if I liked a guy? No.
Why wouldn't you do that today, Liz?
Gun shy.
Really?
Now I'm gun shy.
Twice bitten, once bitten, twice shy,
maybe,
huh?
Maybe like 9 times bitten, yeah.
Okay. So you've become a little bit callous to this then, huh?
I would say it's less callous than self-protective. It hurts, you know?
It's almost like you're making a contract that gets denied, right?
At this point, yeah. I don't want to be rejected. I want the guy to come to me. But I make the big mistake of being too, I think, exuberant and open-armed. You're supposed to be kind of blasé and indifferent. So my girlfriends tell me. And abusive. Apparently men like women who are mean.
It depends on what your mother was like. It depends on... no, really. It depends on what kind of environment you were actually raised in. Okay? In fact, the only time that I've ever seen a woman make a direct application for the presence of a guy was when I was dating a gal let's call her Kim, okay? We were a fairly well-known couple here in town or whatever. And Kim and I went to a nightclub on Halloween, and they had a slave auction. And it was for charity.
Who was being auctioned? What are you talking about?
It was for charity. And some bondage dude got up on the thing, and she goes, oh, let's buy this one. So we paid for it. It was a couple $100s. Actually, it was $225. Okay. Mm-hmm. That went to charity. And we took him home and made him clean up the entire apartment. And then we made him sit by the television and change the channel while we got drunk.
I think I would have made him, like, you know, shave my legs, paint my toenails.
No, we sent him out for food. We did the whole thing, man. It was a great, it was a really good experience.
I think I would have made him shave your legs, actually, and paint your toenails.
Knock it off, you slut. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Let's see what William's got to say here. Go ahead, Will. Roth Radio, you're in the spotlight. Hit it up.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
Go ahead, Will.
I think Elizabeth is confusing sociology with biology, and you know, there is no golden rule book. The most prepared person in dating knows that it's chaos. There's no golden set of rules that'll get you from A to B. Every situation is different, and I know she sells more books and more people read her columns. You know, people think the other way, but that's the truth of it.
Speak to that, Liz, if you would.
Well, I'm wondering what your experience has been, William. You know, personal
experience. My experience is very vast. I've been all over.
What does that mean?
Everywhere. So, men, women, children, dogs, whatever. And, you know, I know a few things. And I think other people agree. You even contradict yourself. And there's conflicting stories all morning. And what do you think that's related to?
Okay, I'm thinking, yes, you're right. And I'm aware of my own conflicting stories. And I would say that there is no rule of thumb. However, if you want to protect yourself, if that's your goal, which I think probably most people seek to do, it's better not to walk into a moving fan. So for a woman, that means waiting a little bit, okay, letting the guy take the initiative. Although I've definitely been all over the map, and I am speaking from experience, you know. I've been sliced up.
What's your thought on that, my friend?
I really think that you got to live in the now, and, you know, if you hold rules over people, that is prejudgment. That's prejudice. So, you know, books like yours, they give off the wrong impression about certain people.
You haven't read my book.
Have you actually read the book?
No, but
well, stop, stop right there. What is the name of the book? Do you even know the name of the book?
Saying it seems very slanted.
What is the name of the book?
Name the book.
I am not a saint.
No, I'm no saint.
I almost cursed.
And it says, I'm no saint, and the subtext is a nasty little memoir of love and leaving.
Thanks for calling. A sweet little memoir of love. I don't want to say goodbye. She's Elizabeth Haight, H-Y-T.
H-A-Y-T.
H-A-Y-T, and she's the author of the column Love and Hate in the Post. She's here every Monday now helping us out with our relationship issues. She's also the author of I Am a No Saint, and you can find her on ElizabethHaight.com. Liz, thank you for joining us
this
morning.
Thank you. It's always a gas here.
Here's my number.
Bye.
Don't forget, we're going to be back tomorrow. If you had a great time, tell a friend. If you had a really creepy time, tell an enemy. They still hired us back on for the bottom here. Tomorrow, you know what? Let's kick off with Iran. Looks like everybody's getting ready for that bump and shove, huh? Interesting stuff. So what do you think, man? Is war the absolute breakdown of all possible whatever, or is it just an advanced state of negotiation? In my family, it is. We discuss, then we argue, then we wage war on each other. That's how we get things done in the Roth family. I don't know if this applies to international politics, but that's what we'll start with tomorrow. Yeah. Who loves you? New York, Philly, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach. We do.